Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Philbrook Museum of Art opens a new exhibit of contemporary Chicano art this weekend from the collection of comedian and actor Cheech Marin. Papel Chicano Dos, works on paper from the collection of Cheech Marin, features works by 26 artists whose names may not be that well known, but are among the finest artists in Southern California and South Texas's Mexican-American communities. Their work reflects the cultural, ethnic, social, and political identity of the Chicano community, using images influenced by pre-Hispanic symbols, nationalistic Mexican motifs, alongside depictions of contemporary urban culture, work, and religion. Papel Chicano Dos opens to the public on Sunday and runs through the summer at Philbrook Museum. My guest today is Museum Director Scott Stulen to talk about the show, as well as other summer activities going on at Philbrook. Scott Stulen, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As far as my memory in Tulsa goes, this is probably the first exhibition of American Latino art in the city that I can recall on such a big scale with this Papel Chicano Dos exhibit from the collection of Cheech Marin. How did this come about?
So this is an exhibition that our contemporary curator, Sienna Brown, has been working on for some time. So Cheech has actually he's got a vast collection. So he has the largest collection of Chicano art in the whole U.S., actually. So he's been taking parts of that collection out on the road over the past decade or so. And this is the most recent exhibition. So this is focusing on works on paper from his collection. And we thought it was a really good opportunity to be able to bring that work here, to be able to have Tulsa be exposed to some new artists, and also something that's really new for Philbrook, and I think also for the city here, to have a large exhibition of Chicano art here.
And the term Chicano art, as opposed to Latino art or Latin American art, there's a specific reason for this terminology, and it goes beyond cultural identification. I mean, it's cultural identification, it's social identification, it's geographic location and everything. I know that's one of the first tasks was to understand what you're presenting.
Correct. And it's all those things, and it's really focusing on kind of Mexican-American artists, primarily focused on Southern California area, but it really spans beyond that too. But that's kind of where, you know, the term originated and really what we're kind of talking about with that. But when you really look at the exhibition, it's really talking about community and what communities look like and what this particular community that's developed over many decades and the different influences that come into it. And what I'm hoping that people can take, you know, away from this show is thinking about their own community, what makes up that community, and not thinking about the specificity of necessarily that this is what Chicano art is or this is what that community is, but really thinking about kind of what makes up community in a broader sense.
But the term also has a very strong political meaning.
It does. It absolutely
and
does.
And a lot of this art has a strong political undertones.
Absolutely, it does. And it's so there's a lot of references to that, to the kind of socio-political movements happening from the 70s, you know, up continuing through present. And not all the work has that, you know, undertone in it, but some it's very much there. And there's some that are more about spirituality, and there's some that are about labor. And there's a lot of kind of underlying issues in all of the work. And, you know, the continuous thread of the whole exhibition is that it comes from Cheech's collection. And this is artists that are really interesting to him. Some are more well-known than others. But it's really, you can't get away from the fact is that there is this kind of, I think, strong political undercurrent in much of the work.
What's also interesting is not only are you looking at some really amazing work, there's one amazing piece that's done by a student.
Yes.
And it's a sort of a Tebow-esque sort of look at Mexican pastries.
Yes.
Just beautiful pastel. Really,
absolutely.
Really amazing. And it's like, this is also a part of it is the fact that he is being a patron for this community of artists.
Well, I think that's a really important point. And I think really looking at, you know, Cheech as a collector, but also as somebody where he's really focused on, he wants to discover these artists, support them, collect their work, and then get it out into the world and have more people see it. And that's what we're hoping, you know, through this show is that for the most part, all 25 artists in the show will be new to most of the audience that's coming in. They were new to, for the most part, to most of us at the museum. And that's exciting. You don't get that opportunity very often to be able to really get introduced to some really fantastic artists and everything from, you know, student work up to some very established artists, too. But that range, I think, is one of the strengths of the show.
I think people will be blown away from the very first images as they walk in. It's by Carlos Amarez,
yes,
who's probably one of the most famous Chicano artists, but totally unknown to me and probably to most of you guys. and these amazing serigraphs that are that open the show. One, this very large piece, diptych called right. Mystery in the Park. It's just this evocative evening, night sort of view of people out enjoying a park in the community.
Absolutely. You know, it's a really strong, powerful piece. And I'm glad that Sienna put that as kind of the entry into the show, because I think it really it holds its own there. And I think you're going to see many of those other kind of surprises as you go throughout of these artists that you know, probably didn't know. But I'm hoping as people are introduced to their work, are drawn into it, and then take the time to dig in a little deeper. And many of the artists, like one of the angles for the show we've taken, is a lot of the materials are having the artists speak in their own voice about their work, about the influences in their work, about their community. And I think that's one of the unique aspects of this particular exhibition.
And what sort of statements did you get from the artists?
You know, it's a wide variety. It's everything from kind of the type of artist statement that you would normally expect to short essays and stories, stories from the community, stories. There's video, there's more book type format, pieces that people can dig in deeper with the artists that are there. But what it's allowing is the artist to really speak about kind of what inspired the work, what inspires, what's part of their background, to understand what Chicano means to them, but also what it understands to be part of their community, and also all the influences being drawn in. I think one interesting part of the show, too, is you'll see everything from art historical influences like Picasso pulled in some of the work, to street art, to parts of landscape and different scenes, and things like, you know, having different portraiture in the show. Mm-hmm. So it's really this really wide range of different types of work and sort of subject matter.
Also, there's a little bit of a, like the street, you were talking street art, like a graffiti art.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and also really interesting subject matter. There was one piece that I just saw the painting before I really saw the statement about it. And it was interesting in one way. And it was this Cadillac convertible,
yeah,
driving down a dark boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
With the typical LA billboard
yes,
things going along. And it had this one, and then I read the title, which it's about, you know, this car hitting a friend.
Right, right.
You know, and you don't really sense that from the painting.
Correct.
And it all of a sudden gives you this whole other meaning to the painting.
It changes it completely. And I think that's something that we hope that people dig in a little deeper with the work and kind of find out some of that context. There'll be some things that read, you know, very immediately. But like that work is that it has a very different context once you actually read a little bit more about it.
Yeah. You were mentioned the Picasso-esque piece.
Yes.
And this is a really interesting story. This is Benito Huerta. Mm-hmm. It's called Exile off Main Street. And you look at it, it's very Picasso-esque.
Right.
And you see this little piece of black material next to the piece, and then you find out that it is a preparatory piece for, you know, the classic painting on black velvet.
right which is again unexpected, right. And I think that's one of my favorite pieces in the whole exhibition.
Another very large piece, which again is a preparatory piece, is, mm-hmm, a lot of these paperworks are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Frank Romero's Festival of Mask Parade. Mm-hmm. It's almost 12 feet long, I think.
It
was a preparatory piece for a mosaic piece that ended up being in the LA subway system.
That's
but
right.
It's just a really amazing, gorgeous piece.
It is, and it's a very complete piece on its own. It is a preparatory piece, but it really is something that stands on its own. And I think that's something that people maybe aren't as aware of, how a lot of artists do work on paper, is doing studies and doing preparation for whether it's a large mosaic or a large painting. Oftentimes they may do, you know, dozens of those in preparation for it. And it's nice to be able to see some of that process, but also in this case, two works that I think stand completely on their own.
You mentioned labor earlier, and there's a artist called Wenceslao Quiroz.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some beautiful little watercolors, and basically they're sort of picking up the alternative economy that a lot of Latinos do in Southern California, from,
yeah,
you know, picking up old
pallets yeah,
from, you know, shipping, moving them to,
correct,
you know, a guy that's selling balloons and, you know, various things at a park.
Absolutely.
You know, just these alternative jobs.
I love those pieces. I think they're delicate. They have this kind of very a sensitivity to them. But then looking at that subject matter, it's like this kind of like hidden economy that happens there that's, you know, all around us, but obviously is a big part of that community there in Southern California. But being able to kind of highlight that in some ways, I think just focus us on it a little bit more.
Right. I think you picked the right word, delicate, because these are exquisitely painted.
They are. Yeah. They're really beautiful illustrations.
Yeah. And there's some really amazing work in this show. Sonia Romero's cut paper pieces. Mm-hmm. She has this thing called Awakening, and it's a female nude.
Yes.
Who is like awakening from a cocoon. And at first, you see it from a distance, and then you get up close and you say, oh my gosh, this cocoon is made out of cut paper.
Correct.
And it's like lace, you know.
It is. It's such an intricate, and it's a nice surprise because you kind of read it from across the room, like you said, and it views more like it was like an ink drawing. And then as you come closer, it reveals itself to be a collage piece like that. And I think it completely changes that work.
Yeah. What are some of the most interesting pieces you saw on the show? Because what's really interesting is you see a wide variety of things. There's some that are very overtly political, which
sure.
These portraits with the faces covered, it's almost like we're not seen, you know, that
yes.
sort of thing.
Yes, and those I think are, for me, those are some of the more fascinating pieces. It's kind of the faces masked in a way, and you just see the mouth of the work. There's also a work that's near that is the Return of the Virgin that I think is a really interesting piece where it's mixing kind of Catholicism, kind of Mexican-American imagery with, tattooed figures in it that are more from street culture. And it's this really interesting kind of combination, like a very striking piece. And then you've actually already mentioned one of my favorites are those kind of delicate watercolors of the different kind of labor scenes there in Southern California. So there's a whole bunch. It's hard to even focus. And we've had the show only up for a few days, and I think it keeps even shifting as I'm going through and being able to look at it. And I think that's the sign of a really strong show, and I'm looking forward to have more time to dig deeper into some of these artists, too, because many of which are not artists that, you know, are as kind of household names or as familiar with, but the work, it deserves some more attention. And I think that's one of the keys, and I know that's one of Cheech's intents here, too, is introducing these artists to a wider audience and getting more acceptance and more acknowledgement of their work.
Another piece, which again, it's the quality of it is exquisite, and that's Vincent Valdez. He has this lithographic series, and the way it's put up in the gallery, it wasn't at first apparent to me, but it's very much part of Chicano culture and Latino culture. This the machismo of the Mexican fighter.
Yes.
And it's telling the story. Then only later do I notice these Roman numerals below, and it's like the Stations of the Cross.
Correct.
I mean, it's a really and what's also amazing about it is the detail on the. I mean, it's really fine lithographic work. Work, just beautiful work. It's like something you would have seen from the 1920s or 30s.
Absolutely.
As far as its quality, that sort of.
Oh, the detail that's there, and it's really the quality of the prep. Yeah, and I think it's just really intricate. In the craft of the pieces, but then the imagery is so strong and striking. And then when you start to make those deeper associations, and I love that work that kind of like, it's almost those layers of the onion that you kind of can see it on the surface and you dig deeper and it keeps giving. And that's one of those cases.
Yeah. I should mention one other major Chicano artist is Chichi Segura Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. Her work, Soy Chicana. And this gets into all sorts of imagery that, everything from the Day of the Dead imagery to Aztec designs. There's pottery designs. And it's just this just amalgam of things that also reminds you of 60s art, that sort of jumble of cacophony of imagery.
Well, and I think that speaks to what you see in many of the different works. There are the variety of influences. It's not any singular influence. And you can see everything from, because there's works in the show from the 80s all the way through present, as you're seeing parts of the art scene of that time being pulled in, but through this kind of filter of those various influences. So you're seeing things that can be from, Mexican-American culture pulled in to different things from Catholicism pulled in to things from, around the corner in the neighborhood. And I think what's really fascinating the work is how they're pulled into one piece and it works together so well.
My guest today is Scott Stulen, the director of Philbrook Museum of Art. Papel Chicano Dos works on paper from the collection of Cheech Marin, opens to the public on Sunday and runs through September 3rd at Philbrook Museum. I know you got to be excited about the fact that Cheech Marin is coming in for a visit here in a couple of weeks. It's ostensibly for his book tour, but I imagine there'll be a lot of discussion about the artwork.
Absolutely. He's excited about both. He's excited about his book, but he's also very excited to have this exhibition here at Philbrick in Tulsa. So he'll be here on June 22nd. We still have tickets available for that. So if anybody's interested in grabbing a couple tickets for that event, I would act soon, but you can go to the Philbrick's website and get those tickets. But he'll be here. He's going to talk about the show. He's going to talk about his book. He's going to talk about all things that he's done in his career. But I know that he's really excited to be able to talk about these artists and also collecting and really get people interested in collecting themselves.
And what's also interesting is that there's a purpose to this collection. He's building a museum in Riverside devoted to Chicano art.
Absolutely. And I think he's just such a good example of somebody who has an interest and a passion and building that over time and having some resources they can put behind that. But really, you know, he wants to introduce this artwork and these artists to a broader public and has taken some really active steps to do that. And I think he should be applauded for that.
Now, how are you going to introduce this artwork to a wider public here in Tulsa?
Of course. Well, we're hoping that we get some people that come to this exhibition that may have not even been to Philbrick before, or maybe haven't been in some time, to be able to check out an exhibition of work that I think is relevant to everybody. It's not just relevant to a particular community. And I think it'll be fascinating and very accessible to a wide audience. But we're hoping it lures in some new people, of course. And so how we're doing that is we are doing some different outreach. We are changing some things even in the museum itself about making us more accessible and open. Things that we're going to start with the show that will continue much beyond this exhibition, like having many of our materials now are both in English and Spanish. Our guest experience staff has actually been training, and now all the front desk staff know 25 to 30 phrases in Spanish and can have a basic conversation with guests coming in so they can be able to guide them better and answer questions, which we're very excited about. They've embraced that. We've had like secret shoppers coming in and testing them, which has been great. And we're also doing some outreach into the community here too, which is just beginning. So we're using this as kind of a jumping off point, but we want to start making really sustained, impactful outreach into the various communities here, not just the Latino Hispanic community, but all the communities here in Tulsa, and be able to bring more people into the museum.
Well, I know that's been a big goal of Philbrick for even prior to you coming here.
Absolutely.
It was sort of been a big focus is to bring this artwork and sort of democratize the artwork, if you will. But I'm wondering, I'm sure you have members from the Latino community coming in all the time to Philbrick.
Yep.
But how do you reach another audience that just maybe thinking this facility is not for them? You know, it's not something like they shouldn't go.
Well,
and that's a big hurdle to overcome. And it goes to all of our minority communities and a lot of different venues too.
It does. And I think a lot of it's perception, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's really a perception that a museum like Philbrick is for them, that they are welcome there, that they will be, even coming into Midtown can be a big challenge because there's a perception about kind of that whether it's something that you're going to feel comfortable. And so we want to break down as many of those barriers as we possibly can. And the biggest ones are perception. You know, sometimes it's cost, sometimes it's time, sometimes it's other access, things which we're trying to address a lot of those through programs like Second Saturday where we have free admission, other programs where we have access programs to bring people in. But the biggest one is really lowering that kind of perception that what's at the museum is that it's relevant to you, that you're going to understand it, and that you're going to be interested in it, and that it's a place that you're going to enjoy. And so we want to make it a place that's fun, that's educational, a place that is more like a community center than like a museum at times, and a place that we really have that kind of that spirit that you want to come frequently. I really want to move the museum away from a place that you come once a year to see that one exhibition you're interested in, to a place that you're coming once a month, maybe for 12 different things over the course of the year. Come and see this exhibition. Then come back next month for a film. Then come with your family and have a picnic there. All these things can happen under the umbrella that is the museum.
How important are the gardens to that mentality? Because, you know, a person might go to a park all the time. Can the gardens be an entry point for a lot of people?
They're huge as far as that's concerned, because I think a lot of people that may feel that they're, you know, I'm not sure I understand art or a little like leery going into a gallery, they understand nature and can interact with that and feel comfortable in that. And for some people, the gardens are that entry point. And we want to leverage that actually much more than even we have in the past, is that I'm convinced if you come into the museum, whether it's to a film, to the galleries, to the gardens, that you're going to cross over into some of the other areas eventually. The biggest thing is kind of getting you in the door to begin with. But the gardens are a tremendous resource. I'd say it's like our big kind of Philbrook's key work of art. It's the villa in the gardens, like, first. And then it's part of the collection. But that's the thing that people were really known for.
All right. Well, Papo Chicano Dos will be on display all through the summer at Philbrook Museum. But I imagine that's not the only thing going on at the museum this summer.
Of course not. We've got a lot of other stuff going on, too. So
tell us what's going on.
I'll tell you a few different things. So we our popular Films on the Lawn series. So we're changing that slightly. So in the past, that's been in the month of July. So it was Fridays in the month of July.
And it was really hot.
Yeah, and I came in from, coming in from a northern climate, I was wondering why. So we decided to change it slightly. Partly so we could do more films, but also so that we could kind of spread it over some cooler months and also have the start times be a little bit earlier in particular, too, because in July it tends to be, it doesn't get dark till 9 o'clock, and it limits some of the families being able to come. So we're now doing films the last Friday of each month throughout, and we're going to run. We just started this past week. We did Princess Bride last Friday. We had 1,400 people there for Princess Bride and had a real wedding there as well, in costume, in character, for Princess Bride. And that was actually pretty magical. So we are doing Never Ending Story coming up here in partnership with the library in June. And then we are doing Vertigo's coming up. We're also doing Dirty Dancing. We are doing...
But you're going well into the fall, right?
Well into the fall. And the ones I will tease going forward is September. We're doing Moonrise Kingdom, and we're going to let some people camp out in the garden overnight. and we're doing E.T. in October right before Halloween and doing a bike drive-in for that. So we're trying to make the films be experiential, really take advantage of the beautiful campus that we have, and make it something more interesting and unique than just watching the movie.
Now, there's a wonderful installation in the rotunda that's been up for a few months, but if you haven't been to Philbrook in a while, what's really interesting is watching kids interact with this piece. And it's basically, you'll have to explain it.
I will. So it's a piece by Eric Rieger. He goes by, his street art name is Hot Tea that he goes by, but his medium of choice is yarn. So what's hanging from the ceiling is an upside-down pyramid of yarn, 7,500 individual strands in 83 different colors. And when you come in, it's amazing because it's this airy, kind of light, almost weightless sculpture that as the light comes into the room, it changes color, it shifts. And for me, it's been just delightful walking by and seeing kids come in and just go like, wow. And then lay down on the floor and look up at this piece and stay there for several minutes. And so it's a pretty interesting piece in the rotunda. We're really excited to have Hot Tea, the artist there, who's getting some national acclaim now. He's won a couple of national awards, and he's working on a big commission up in Minnesota now. So, but that'll be up through November, so you have time to come and see it. You definitely want to see that piece before it comes down. And then that's going to be a cycle that we're going to do annually now. We're going to have a new artist do an installation in the Rotunda each year. So we're working on the next artist that will work on a project starting in January. And those that came in during our festival event around the holidays, we're bringing the snowflakes back again this year too. So
get your scissors sharpened there, Philbrook staff.
Absolutely.
So what's going on downtown?
So downtown, we opened a show at last First Friday, and it's called Game On, and it's a sports-themed show. And what's unique about this is we have a new acquisition by Carl Handel, who's an L.A. artist, and it's a large scale, it's almost about 8x10 graphite pencil drawing, and it happens to be of Adrian Peterson, who has some connections here. And it is a photorealistic piece. So it looks like a photograph to get very close, but actually is a pencil drawing. It took him several months to complete the piece. But it's really a stunning work and a nice addition to our collection. But to frame up this, we have this kind of sports-themed show with several works, but we also put turf down in the gallery. There's bleachers in there. You can sit in the bleachers and look at the artwork. And we're also having one of the adjacent spaces, foosball tables and a scoreboard, and we're doing several things around games and sports over the summer in those spaces. So trying to make downtown be a place that we keep cycling out new things that are happening there, but also activating the space with more programming.
Yeah. And that sounds the piece really is amazing. And when you look at a pencil artist's piece, it's just Boy, it takes a special personality to do this because these are month-long processes.
They are. He has a piece. It's a separate artwork, but we talked about bringing it in for this. We maybe will later on, but it's just a giant jar that has all the little nubs of pencils from some of his drawings in it that he's turned into a work onto itself. But no, they are, and part of his work really is that labor that goes into it. He takes his source material from photographs and then transforming a small photograph from a newspaper into these large drawings, and it's part of almost a meditative process in making that transfer. And you get in a zone, making works like that. And with my own artist background, I can actually sympathize with some of that. There is something very calming about sitting and doing a project like that, where you kind of know the task and you kind of just get into that rhythm and kind of work through it. This is me personally, but looking at that work, I sense that, in that, and there's almost a certain calmness that comes in that.
Mm. My guest today is Scott Sulin, director of Philbrook Museum of Art. Lots of things going on at Philbrook. Anything else you want to mention before we close?
Well, I'll mention one other special thing that we're doing. So we're working on a new piece that's going to be added to the garden. Hopefully we're targeting this late fall, but there's the way the public can actually be involved. So Carl Unish is the artist, and it's actually a log cabin that's going to be part log cabin, part stained glass. It's a 20 by 30 foot structure. It's going to have LED lights inside of it, so at night it will glow, but during the daytime it will be this almost like a little chapel out in the garden. And what we're going to be doing with it for the stained glass, though, is we're inviting the public to contribute glass. We're doing kind of a glass drive for this, to collect glass that the artist will be incorporating into the actual structure itself.
So it'll be like a found object piece of stained glass.
In a way. Yeah. And he actually is able to incorporate things like candy bowls, dishes, plates into the stained glass itself and works around it with the glass that he puts and incorporates them in. The roof will be stained glass. The windows will be stained glass. The doors between all the logs. Mm-hmm. And then we're also asking for books. So kind of cloth-bound, large books that will be the fireplace inside that will be actually resined in as the fireplace inside the cabin. So if people want to contribute, we'll be having more information out soon starting next week. They can bring either glass or books to Philbrook and potentially have your work in an actual sculpture permanently at the museum.
Now, there's also a backstory about this, right?
Because there is.
Apparently before the villa was built, there was a log cabin on the site.
There was a log cabin on the site, and we even found recently, this is really recent, even after we kind of started working on this project, we found an original map from 1926, 2 years before the villa was built. And on that drawing, there was two things on there. There was a little lake. That's where our vegetable garden is now. That didn't happen. But near that lake is very close to the site where the cabin's going. Wasn't supposed to be a cabin.
Interesting.
So there's a history there with all of this, too, that we're kind of unpacking as we're doing more research around the piece, which is it's really exciting to be able to kind of dig in and find out those new things.
All right. Well, sounds like a lot of things are going on throughout the summer. If people want more information, they go to philbrook.org, right?
They can. Yep. Check it out and hope to see you this summer.
All right. Scott, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Sulin is the director of Philbrook Museum of Art. The museum is opening a new exhibit on Sunday, Papel Chicano Dos, Works on Paper from the collection of Cheech Marin, which will be on display through September 3rd at Philbrook Museum. Information at philbrook.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.